The Lock-In Podcast is brought to you by Rotocloud, the all-in-one solution for managing hospitality teams. Rotocloud lets you plan and share rotas, record attendance, and manage your team's annual leave, all in less time than it takes to make a brew. It also makes life easier for your staff, allowing them to check their rotas, request annual leave, and even pick up extra shifts, all through the Rotocloud mobile app. Start your 30-day free trial today by visiting rotocloud.com/lock-in. Dodgy microphones, check. Bad recording, check. Three ill-informed idiots talking rubbish, check. Yes, it's official. The Lock-In Podcast is back. Hello and welcome back to the Lock-In Podcast, the show that lifts the lid on life in the pub trade by those working in it. We're back for our second series. Clearly the authorities haven't been listening to the last one, so long may it last. I'm the morning advertiser's Ed Bennington, and with me as ever are my slightly capable co-hosts, Heath Ball and James Cuthbertson. Heath, as ever, needs no introduction. He's a great operator that runs a number of leading pub operations in the south of England. He's won a range of top awards and is universally acknowledged as one of the country's best operators. Hang on a minute. Heath, have you hacked my script?
Is that your joke?
I mean, Jesus.
You've had 6 months to come up with this script.
You know, you can't rush these things. So, and James, on the other hand, does need an introduction. We're just not sure what he does. So, thank you, guys.
Morning. 6 months. He's in his own humour lockdown.
It's. I'd like to say it's great to be back, or to have you back. And I see you've both done your hair for the occasion as well. So, thank you for that. That's my quota of dad jokes for the start of this podcast.
No one likes a bully, Ed.
I don't know. So we've been off the air for the past 6 months or so, and quite a bit has been happening. So this opening episode of the new series is going to be taking a bit of a look back at what we've missed while we've been off air and where we're at. We'll be taking a look at some of the key trends, from premiumisation to post-lockdown trade, through to letting Heath have a bit of a rant about the budget and the government, because he's probably got quite a lot to get off his chest. Before all that, let's just sort of talk, how have you been, chaps? What have you been doing without the podcast to give your lives meaning?
Work.
Right.
Just work.
I saw some football in Madrid and went off to Greece on a jolly with one of the suppliers, but that's about it.
Did a bit of fishing as well, I believe.
Fishing? I went fishing, yeah.
Yes.
Went to fly fish.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. James?
I just listened to old episodes on loop. Because I just picked out some of the highlights. I've done a highlight reel.
Have you?
It's not very long.
I was going to say, it's about 30 seconds long. Brilliant. Well, thanks. I mean, I have missed this time of you two basically taking the mickey out of me.
I think we're doing quite well.
I know you do it generally, but it's nice to be back, isn't it?
Thank goodness for WhatsApp.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, what's top of mind at the moment? What's happening with you guys? I mean, we're talking a lot about Christmas. We've got Christmas bookings. I mean, how are you finding that?
Good luck out, James. How are we finding
that? Yeah, really good. Mm. Really good. Better than last year.
Right.
People seem to have a bit of pent up, you know, need to celebrate and get together. But the big difference is that the groups are very small, or smaller.
Right.
We've always limited it. I mean, Heath will probably talk more about that here, but just, it looks like departments are coming rather than firms en masse, which suits us beautifully, because, you know, say, Heath will talk about bigger groups in a minute, but very much so, round our way, we've managed to get most of the businesses, I think, and
okay.
Mixture of lunch and dinner, but really strong, really strong forward bookings, and it's good, good, but generally trade's brilliant.
Good stuff. Heath, what's it like up here?
Well, I think I've been a bit more cautious. I've been trying to avoid large groups. I know it sounds probably a lot of operators going, what? But the biggest group I'll take is 8. I just think, last thing I want to do...
because you can't be bothered?
I don't like people, so... No, it's just that, the way I look at it, right, if you're taking a big group booking, 20, 30 people, not only the pub, the Red Lion's quite small, it changes the dynamic of the room, and they can be quite loud and all that, but it only takes one person in that company to come down with COVID, and they will panic and then cancel their booking.
Mm.
And you've, instead of losing it like one table of 8, you've lost 20 covers, 30 covers. So, and hearing from other operator up north that he's losing a lot of his bookings past the 14th of December, because a lot of the big companies are freaking out, because if someone gets COVID at the Christmas party, you're having to isolate over Christmas.
Yep.
So all these companies are trying to move all their bookings to the beginning of the month. So, right. Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, I don't think we're, even though the government like to pretend nothing's really happening anymore, I think we're not out of the woods by a long shot. So it's just, I'm just a bit careful. I don't want to go and jump right
in. Sort of fall into our laps, isn't it? The smaller group bit.
Yeah, it's easier.
The big group, you know, as you say, kills the room, kills the mood of the pub when you've got, you know, 30 people all
from
sharing the in-joke at work or, you know.
Yeah. And also stayed away from, we've at both pubs, we've stayed away from set Christmas menus. So we're not tying ourselves to the traditional, what most pubs would do, 35 quid, whatever, you know, 20 whatever quid set menu. And then you've got all those people, you know, having to deal with pre-orders, allergy requests, but also, you know, what's the supply chain looking like?
Well, this is it. I mean, I was chatting to Vicky Williams of Almond Family Pubs the other day, and she was saying the similar thing. You know, it's really difficult to sort of have those set menus when you can't actually guarantee you're going to be getting those products.
Well, look at Aubrey Allen. They sent out their email this week saying you've got to have your Christmas orders in for the whole of Christmas by the 29th or 26th of November. You've got to be organised, you know, and then you could lose those bookings. They could turn around and go, COVID, can't come. And you've got all this food in. You've got to try and fill it. So, but yeah, it's definitely going to be an interesting Christmas.
And obviously, you know, we're talking about staff a lot. I mean, how's the situation with you guys? We're going to be digging into this a bit more in detail in the next episode of around recruitment and retention. But how have you been finding it? How are you?
I think it's fragile, isn't it? Got good teams, loyal teams, get paid well, get looked after well, particularly compared to a lot of other operators. So I think that goes in our favour, but it doesn't take a lot for the dominoes to go. You know, positive test. And,
I was going to say, is that still becoming an issue? We had the ping epidemic while we've been off air. You've had staff test positive. I mean, what's it like? Do you think are you seeing less of that? Because
seen
people
more.
Have had
I've never known so many people to have it. I had like three mates in the last couple of weeks that have had it. Do you know what I mean?
I'm dead.
And me as well. Thanks. Well, yeah, that was it. Cheers, James.
Four mates then.
I would say well recovered, but it was too late.
Yeah, but like it's still, in the way the thing that kills me is the government are just like, yeah, whatever, cool. And it's just like, what do you know, it's quite tough to navigate.
I doubt if you asked people in the street, men or women, and asked them what the rules were about isolating with a positive test in the workplace, I'm not sure they'd really know. I just think it's confused.
If you're positive, you've got to stay home.
In terms of around you, you know what I mean?
If you've been working, you still. But you get contact by track and trace, and then you've got to do a PCR test.
Yeah.
And if you've been double vaxxed, you can be released. Do you know what I mean?
If you have it in your house, if someone has it in your house and you've been double vaxxed, you're free to go about your business.
Yeah.
It does make a huge amount of sense. But
the problem is ultimately, it's one of those things you can't argue against. If the member of the team or the rest of the team or the wider team feel that they don't feel safe and they don't come in, there's not really much you can do about it, frankly. So I think that's the scary bit, is that fragility.
But that's what I mean. It's still, it's here.
Yeah.
But we're sort of...
It feels it's almost come close to home a little bit, doesn't it? Because we're all starting to know people or have had it or, you know, whereas previously it was more of an abstract kind of, you know... Are you going to get it? Whereas now it seems to be creeping a little bit closer to the door. But
very much so, I think.
Yeah.
But that's what kills me. The government act like it's all over. Do you know what I mean? And they really are.
Well, the numbers are crazy. And we don't see those numbers on a daily basis like we did. And you look at, I think, Mid-Sussex or where the Lockhart is. I think we're second highest in the country.
I thought you were highest down there.
We were second highest last week, but it's going up. But it's just unbelievable.
But what do you do? We don't want another lockdown. But what do you do? Like, you know, we can't make it, the industry can't
try wearing
it.
Masks. Maybe that would be that's the biggest problem, isn't it? There's a lack of compliance across the piece. You know, you sit on the train, nobody's wearing masks.
Everyone's had enough of it. That's the thing. The countries, you know, if they imposed what they did in Austria, another lockdown, like what are we looking like?
Well, when you look at the riots and stuff that we're getting, you know, in Europe, it's crazy. But I think, you know, I think the government look at that and think there's a chance.
Yeah.
You know, there's a chance.
Absolutely.
I think they're just holding their breath.
Yeah. The other thing we've been seeing a lot on, talking a lot about price rises. I mean, how are you finding that at the moment?
Everything's gone up.
Yeah.
Everything.
I think even things that have, you know, genuinely gone up due to increased prices at source, etc. But I even think there's operators where they haven't had as much impact to use it as an opportunity to knock up a few percent.
But man, like my electricity bill usually is about 16, 17 grand a month at the Red Lion. And I had the renewal offer from one of the suppliers, and it was 35 grand.
A year. Yeah, not a month. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what? Do you know what I mean? And I'm speaking to my broker that I use, and he's just like, well, you know, you could take a 2-year deal, it's a bit less. I'm like, I'm not tying myself into this. Mm. So,
so you're paying 35 grand?
Well, I haven't committed to anything right yet. I've still got another 2 months before I can buy everything. But yeah, like, it's a problem. Everything's gone up. Like, they're saying manufacturing a fertilizer due to all these costs. You know, it's just madness out there. But you, how there's a point where you can price yourself out of the market with your customers, and it's going to be a bit expensive.
But we are expected to absorb it. That's the problem, really, is that everyone's cost of living's gone up. We know that. And everyone uses energy. So it really does impact everyone.
We're quite lucky, though. You know, like Kate Nichols managed to get that VAT held at 12.5%. So we're all right. That's going to help offset some of the costs. I'm glad the government agreed to that. Oh, wait.
I think I will park that one there for now. You're listening to the Lock In podcast. Myself, Ed Bennington, Heath Ball, and James Cuthbertson. So we're taking a bit of a look back at some of the things that have been going on while we've been off air, and obviously the big thing that we all got very excited about initially for about 30 seconds was the government's budget. Mentioned pubs quite a lot. Sounded all very interesting and positive. Until we actually looked at the fine print, which kind of took almost everything away. So, I mean, we're mainly doing this just so that you can have a full-on rant, because you haven't been able to do that for 6 months. So, I mean, what do we think? I mean, now the dust has firmly settled on the budget.
The whole thing's a joke. We're just taking the piss out of it, really, aren't we? That 3p on a pint, like. The brewers, I think you said it, James. The brewers are just keeping that. You know what I mean?
So they should.
Yeah, like it's, but we're not, you know what I mean? Like almost.
It's really the customer, again, it's the customer expectation. Like,
I was
going to
say, said the ex brewer.
Well, yeah, but, you know. But if you look at
who
it.
Who did you sell out to again?
If you think about it's about the customer again, thinking that land licenses are being greedy by keeping it, you know, not reducing by 3p.
Yeah.
It's just not, it's not a real thing.
That's always the problem, isn't it? The customer's straight into the pub going, why has my pint not gone down? And the reality is it's actually going up.
Yeah.
The 3p is neither here nor there in the general scheme. That said, like you said, I mean, from a brewer's perspective, it probably was welcome news, but it doesn't again kick in until what, 2023?
Something like that.
I mean, this is the absurdity. When they put the price up,
yeah, put the price away. Of petrol tomorrow morning.
Takes effect quite quickly, doesn't it?
Yeah.
When they take it away, it's sort of, we'll leave that for a bit.
There was really nothing in there for us, was there? I mean, ultimately.
Oh, come on. The business rates was a joke as well, isn't it? They're not even going to look at it. They kicked it into the long grass, and then we get half of our business rates.
Depending on how high your business rates are.
Yeah, if you're a company with, like, you know, that's why you always want separate limited companies in some respect. You know what I mean? Those big boys, Jesus, there's no value there at all.
No. Well, it's interesting because we're not far from the new year, aren't we? And that, you know, some of the relief drops off, the rent moratorium comes in, so all these pressures are starting to build. So I think we can.
Next March is going to be. Oof. A lot of operators are just beginning through to Christmas and counting on Christmas being flying success. And then, but, you know, what's January looking like?
It's going to be tough, isn't it? It's going to be tough, and nothing really was given that's going to make that any easier in the short term or the long term.
Could have kept the VAT. Could have given us that. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's to not give us that just means.
I mean, it hasn't been ruled out. If I'm going to play a positive card, they haven't said they're not going to. But they equally haven't said they're going to keep it at 12.5.
We'll place bets. It'll be back up to 20 next. That's the problem. The government acting like it's all over and the support's done. And here we go. You guys get back on your feet now. You've had enough from us. And it's not. We're still hemorrhaging. You know what I mean? We're still beaten. It's just I don't know, man.
I think we're starting to feel a bit beaten down with it now, just accepting whatever's going on.
Yeah.
I mean the
interesting thing was the positive that people took out of it was that pubs were being mentioned and focused on by the government.
But that's the thing, like, yeah, but they I think a lot of people think we've just been looked after and given loads of cash. Do you know what I mean? And I don't, this government basically does what it wants when it wants, and they can dump sewage into the rivers, and it's just madness. You know, the whole thing, Boris is just getting away with murder. He's unbelievable. I've got to be careful what I say, because last time I slagged them off, I got a full VAT, eat out to help out, audit.
That was specifically because they listened to the Lock-In podcast, and they heard you being rude about them, and decided to...
He gave Paul Scully a hard time, didn't he? So it all filtered back.
They did an audit on my... I got a full audit. They audited my eat out to help out scheme. So any operators out there, you want to know what an eat out help out audit what it looks like? I had to supply pre-COVID table plans, COVID table plans, a video walkthrough of the premises, photos of all the tables, bookings, where customers sat, the duration they sat at the table, their bill, the payment they paid, how they paid for that bill, relating to that bill. I had to send them all this information. The staff, how many people working, they ordered my furlough system, they ordered all my books. I got taken to pieces, and I rang them up and I said, listen, I've obviously upset someone there, because I don't know anybody who's been audited to this level. She said, no, it's just a random audit.
And how's the community service going?
I mean, the fact that he survived the audit is a freaking miracle, isn't it?
Mate, like, I got, like, clean, like... Came back, yeah, no problem.
We were calling for deportation.
Well, then they can strip me of my passport without me knowing about it now, can't they?
Yes.
There's another thing. They can just strip your citizenship and don't have to tell you. By the way, you can't travel anymore. You've got no passport.
They wouldn't do that, though, because they would actually want you to leave the country.
I've got another passport. I've got a New Zealand passport if it all goes, Pete Tong. Go down there and hide.
It's not in his own name, but...
I don't know. Like, it's the problem you've got. The government are just doing whatever they want, and it doesn't. Like, we're great at giving awards to ourselves. I see that one of our lobbyists the other day got 2 new awards, and great, well done. Fuck, but how about actually getting the job done?
I mean, we've got a lot of things that are outstanding, and I think another operator put it the other day, kind of saying, if we don't come out the end of this crisis without business rates review, without VAT being held, then we've monumentally failed.
We've done nothing.
We've achieved nothing. We will have achieved
I think the government strategy, though, is to look at so many things at once, because they did this today with care, didn't they? The new care package, this 85 grand thing. But I think they're dealing with so many things at once that it suits them, because you can't really keep your eye on one thing. There's so much to look at.
Oh, look what they're doing with the train lines. What is it?
They just do, yeah.
Hey, come on.
I see they scrapped the bridge going from Scotland to Ireland this morning, the plans for that. As if that was ever going to happen.
I was going to say, I didn't even realise that was a genuine
plan. I thought it was a joke.
I thought Boris had done that on the back of a beer man.
And this is how stupid I am.
Hang on a minute.
Wait, Ethan, I think we've got someone joining us.
I was going to say, we're going to run out of time.
But if you live in Northern Ireland, you've still got full EU rights. We just got shafted.
They talked about this morning about, you know, the refugee crisis. They're saying 25,000 people and 5 had gone back this year.
Yeah.
But they were saying that we'd gone to Europe to ask for a similar scheme that the previous year, I think 250 had gone back. So still a small number, relatively. And Europe just went, no. And you can imagine why, we were so arrogant. You're all right, just as you are.
I thought we need these migrants anyway to work for us.
We still have more people leaving the country than staying.
And do we really?
It's a net loss every year. You can understand that, really, can't you? The shit show. But,
And I mean...
at least some of these buggers coming over might actually work for us.
You never know.
And work with us and want to put a good day, shift in.
Until they get pinged.
Until they get pinged. Ed, you have to take it away from me.
I did, sorry. COVID passports is the other thing that sort of is dangling. For example, we keep getting asked about it. I mean, what are your thoughts? We've seen it up in Scotland. It's been a...
I was in Greece recently.
A bit of a nightmare.
In Athens, and you go to a bar, and they've got an app on their phone, I think, like the staff will scan you. But then they want to see your ID. that goes with that passport to make sure it's not a fake. You know, right. You are the person. So you're getting double checked. You know what I mean? Like who you are. And one guy in the bar we're at, we saw this guy and he gave his thing over and it came back like no. And then he put out a piece of paper and they scanned that and they went no and they had to kick him out.
Right.
Like they're full on. Like you
have
know what I mean?
You have to ask though. If there's anyone who's trying to get into the pub and it hasn't double jabbed, you kind of have to go, are you all right? Have you not really got this? Do you know what I mean? You have to question whether you want to be a pub anyway.
But I think, what are we going to do? What Austria done?
Well,
really?
No. Well, no. But
well, we've seen what Austria gave us. You know, 70 odd years ago. Follow the theme.
I mean, that's the danger,
I just want to pick up on the thing that he said that in Greece they're quite hot on checking. But they can't be that hot on checking because they let Heath back into the country, even though he's barred from Greece.
I got asked to leave. I wasn't barred. I just got asked to leave many years ago.
The whole country.
Yeah.
that's true.
But no, but if we imagine like the added costs of running a COVID passport scheme, like it's pretty full on. When we're going to the restaurants out there, they have like most of the staff just come out and scan you straight away. Mm. Like everyone's got it on their phone. All the staff have the thing and they just scan you. So
I think the question is, it's the carrot's not really worked because the carrot's not been big enough, has it? You know, they talked about some incentives for kids to get done, like food KFC vouchers, whatever they were.
Oh, they've done that in New Zealand. They gave them the McDonald's vouchers.
Yeah,
to go and get vaccinated.
Yeah, which is nonsense. Really. You should never be, you know,
bribed.
Are you holding out to get the McDonald's?
Yeah, I mean, I'm waiting for KFC to join the party.
I think I've got one of those free burger things. Yeah, I mean, you're looking. So, I mean, some of the things in Scotland have been a bit of a joke, haven't they? I've seen nightclubs that have basically taken out their dance floors so that they don't have to have the passports. Others are saying it's just absolutely killed their trade.
Yeah, they just make it like undesirable to go out, and yet, like, we're not getting compensated by the government. Like, you know, we're really going to hinder your business, but you know, what are we going to do in return? It's if they bring it in here, man. Like, I don't know, like how many people. It could be a disaster.
Well, I mean, it could be the alternative to a lockdown, though. That's what they'll say.
Boris said that. He said last year, if we had vaccine passports and vaccines, we wouldn't have gone into a lockdown. And I'm pretty sure that's how they'll push it through and that's how they'll sell it to the public. Mm. They'll turn around and go, okay, guys, we don't want to go to plan B, but we want to do this because we don't want to close at Christmas. And everybody go, oh, we can have Christmas with our family. Yeah, okay, give us the vaccine passports. I wouldn't be surprised, man. These guys can do whatever they bloody want.
Well, this is true.
It's going to be, I mean, and you know, let's be frank, if they did take Christmas away, it would be a disaster for the trade because everyone's had to buy ahead of time because there's no stock available. Everyone's sitting on a lot of money.
Yeah.
Those that can afford to, in fairness.
Yeah, I bought all the stock. We've done the same with both pubs. We bought all the Christmas stock already because the supply chain's absolutely screwed.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what I mean? Trying to get stuff.
If that gets jerked away at the last minute.
Oh, you imagine sitting on a lot of money doing nothing.
You could always drink it, I guess.
Well, it's not hard, is it?
No.
Well, on that note, let's leave that there. You're listening to the Lock In podcast, and with us today we have the fantastic Phil Tate from CGA. Thanks for joining us on this one, Phil. And we've also got Heath and James, as ever, lurking in the background to wind me up. One of the key things we've been hearing since the end of lockdown is a shift towards premiumisation. Customers are demanding more and more premium products. Wetherspoons are even seeing a shift to cocktails away from real ales. But that's probably more down to Heath's liking for Sex on the Beach at his local Spoons. Oh, wait, you weren't talking about a cocktail, were you, Heath?
No.
Anyway, to help us with the ongoing growth in premiumisation and the general consumption trends, we've got Phil Tate from CGA, or Stato, as we shall now call him, moving forward. That's appropriate, I thought. But Phil, thanks for joining us. I mean, from your perspective, what are you guys seeing over at CGA?
Well, we all know what the depressing backdrop has been, don't we? So 100 billion of lost sales, 10,000 closed outlets. So, it's not been a great backdrop to come out of. But I think the positivity is really starting to come through. Mm. So from a total sales perspective, you look at our Coffer CGA business tracker, while the MAT is still slightly down, if you're looking at the month-on-month performance now, you can really start to see it coming back into growth, 3.2% up.
Right.
I'm putting those stats out there for you. And it's really been driven by the consumer. And we've got 74% of consumers who are now back into the marketplace. But what's most important is that subset of 33% of consumers who actually make up over 70% of visits to the on-premise.
Right.
They're back and they are out in the market. And the reason why is we all know what it's like. People have missed out on those birthdays, those anniversaries, those celebrations, and they're coming back to the hospitality sector because they know it's the forum to have those kind of occasions and make up for all of that lost time.
Yeah.
But they're coming out, I think it's with every opportunity at the moment within hospitality, there's a but, and I think this really does tie into the premiumization point. Their expectations have never been as high.
Right.
So they missed out on all of these experiences. While we've all been locked up in our houses, we've been in our own living rooms, we've been enjoying those delivery at home boxes and delivery from hospitality, which is still in 130% growth, even though the market has reopened.
Right.
We've been having our delivery at home cocktails, we've been having our delivery at home craft beers. What it means is then when people are coming out into the sector, their expectations are here. They want the best. And because 2/3 of them have actually got pent up money as well, they're prepared to try and look for those premium experiences. And if you talk to the customer now and say, what's the three things you want? Number one is service, number two is quality of food, and number three is quality of drinks.
So I mean, Heath, you're pretty knackered on all three of those.
Well, irony is they want service. We've got nobody in the country to serve them. They want quality food and drink. You can hardly get it. Do you know what I mean? Like, their expectations are unrealistic.
Carry on, Phil.
I was just going to say, but you bang on with the risk because, we've got 1 in 5 hospitality jobs at the moment that's absolutely vacant. We've got 76% of business leaders telling us they've got staff shortages front and back of house. And being blunt, we've got a consumer who doesn't care one jot about all those things.
You mean spot on, they don't care.
Yeah.
Well, should they
care? I mean, ultimately, this is it's almost your problem to deal with. Don't give it to the consumer. Yeah, but if I'm coming to you as a customer, I don't care.
But when we stop taking bookings because we reach capacity, and you try and then you go, well, why can't you do us? And you say, well, that table's free. Well, it's not because we're at capacity. You try and explain it to them. I don't care. So, you know, I always say, now I can give you the really long answer, or it's just a no. There's no point. Like, I'm not doing you a table.
Customer service.
But they don't care. They don't care. And then you'll get shitty reviews because they haven't got what they want. Do you know what I mean? And their expectations, like you said, is just coming out. They're just living on another planet.
So this effectively, you've got to manage this now, haven't you? This is what you've got to be able to do. You've got to be able to communicate that and manage that process so that you aren't getting the shitty reviews. That people are understanding, you know.
They don't care.
They want that experience.
They really don't care. The amount of times when you get booking requests come through and it's like they've made a booking online and it's like, it's my birthday, !! Man, like, I think James said before, it's like a threat. Oh my God, they need to have a good time. Oh my God.
Because normally we give you a shit time, but as it's your birthday.
I mean, what can you do then? How do you deal with that?
Communicate, but they don't care. Like, it's just try and, like, I think you've just got to, like, you know, what we're quite good is being realistic about what we can actually do, and then don't oversubscribe, don't overbook, you just got to be really careful and just make sure you're on point, make sure you've got, make sure you're wireless, make sure your menu's up to date, make sure you've got stock, make sure you've got staff, it's getting harder and harder.
I mean, I think the interesting sort of the stat that seemed to be grabbed quite a lot and was indicative of, or being used as indicative, was the fact that Weatherspoons are now selling more cocktails than real ale, which I find funny because that's not really necessarily a sign of premiumization. That's more a reflection on the change in consumer base. Yeah. You know, there's older people. I mean, you said, Phil, that, what was it, 70% of people are back. Yeah. But that 30% are probably more in the older age group. They're still a little bit nervous. They're probably in Weatherspoon's customer base as well. Weatherspoon's may have lost some of those customers in a rather grim sort of view during the crisis. They may have lost some. So it's no great surprise the younger people are in the Spoons drinking cocktails, and the older customers that haven't come out, stay at home, aren't there drinking the real ale. So that's not necessarily premiumisation, is it?
You bang on it, because it's the people who haven't come back out yet. They're typically the older demographic, and that 30% that I spoke about who come out more frequently and make up 70% of visits, they typically spend a third more when they're out as well. Mm. But you can see that people are craving those experiences they couldn't have at home. Yeah. So spirits have grown share of total consumption by 2.5%. And they've taken that away from like wine, because people were drinking that at home. They were taking it away from some of the beer category. And cocktails has been a big winner. So cocktails has taken 4% of total sales in pubs. 4%. Right. So total sales, food and drink. So right. Pre-COVID, it's now up to 6.6% in pubs.
Okay,
it's 2%. Right, there's a younger demographic coming out. We as consumers are going to different places, because 1 in 5 of us are working from home on a particular day. And we plan to continue to do that. So the after work occasion's gone down by 24%. We're replacing it with family night or date night. And we're going to our local, and we want cocktails. We want premium spirits. We want that excellence of serves, which then adds to all the operator challenges that we've just talked about. Because to come back on some of those points, I couldn't agree more with some of the things that were mentioned. They don't care, and they'll go elsewhere.
Mm.
So that your average consumer has 6 brands in their repertoire of outlets they like to go to. They're churning 50% of them every 6 months.
Mm.
There's no second chances in today's market. If they go out, they don't have the experience they are craving. They're just going, right, okay, you're out, and I'm actually going to go, because I've got so much choice popping up over here, I'm going to pick one of those venues instead. And the reviews are critical. Because for certainly the younger demographic, 54% of them choose where they go based on their friends' social media profiles.
Right.
And because they're all out for that reward experience at the minute to make up for lost time, we're not taking any risks with it, researching it.
Right.
So everyone's looking at those reviews to go, is this place going to deliver on my experiences? And if they see some negative reviews, they'll just plan to go elsewhere.
That's really key, though. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a huge amount of challenge out there. A huge amount of challenge.
I mean, you mentioned wine was down. I mean, Heath, you're very very focused on wine. It's you are a wine geek of the highest order. Are you feeling that? Are you seeing any sort of shift in terms of drinking habits up here?
No, not in the Highgate. I think even at the Lockhart, we're seeing wine percentage of sales going up. Mm. And what we're seeing is people are drinking better wine. They're moving away. You know, average bottle price has definitely gone up. I think, you know, I haven't really noticed it, but we've seen the cocktails pick up. Do you know what I mean? Like, we've seen a lot of that. We do frozen margaritas and Negronis and all that, and they're really popular. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we pick up quite a bit of that.
I'm conscious of time, but I mean, looking at this sort of this trend in sort of premiumization and people looking for this. Is this a bubble that's going to burst, do you think, Phil? I mean, how long can it go on? Because, I mean, you mentioned, you know, people have a bit more cash in their pockets because they weren't able to spend it, but that's fine. They're going to spend it at some point. If they haven't had a holiday in Cornwall for £9 billion, then it's going to run out, isn't it?
Eventually, but I think, again, sorry to throw more stats at you. You've got
Please do, static.
69% of the consumers at the minute are telling us they're going to continue this live-for-the-moment mindset. Because the one thing these last 18 months has taught them is that every occasion needs to be an occasion. If that's a birthday, an anniversary, or a day that ends in Y, they're going to literally make the most of it.
You say that, but we'll get to January and they'll all be detoxing, hiding at home, under the blanket, watching Netflix.
They'll be dry January and all of that. But they're telling us they're going to carry these behaviours on for at least 18 months. That's what they're telling us.
Right.
I think we're going to see a repeat of what we saw in 2008. So in 2008, everyone talks about after the financial crisis, that was the birthplace of premiumization. It was actually the birthplace of polarization. And that's where you literally have people either stay at the entry-level price point, because for them, just being out in itself is the treat.
Mm-hmm.
They've compromised on where they shop, they've compromised on holidays, and therefore being out means this is my affordable luxury and I'm going to make the most of it, but they stay at the entry-level price point. They still expect good value at that entry-level price point. This isn't about budget brands. This is about great brands at that entry-level price point. And rather than some of them trading up to the better position, they'll literally go straight to best. So with a lot of categories, people have that good, better, best mindset.
Yep.
And what we see in a polarized market is it's all about the top or the entry-level price
point.
And we did a study across 20 countries recently about looking at how people are coming back to COVID after the month. And 33% of them want good products at the entry-level price point. 33% want the luxury price points. Mm-hmm. And that's just polarization evidence for you right there. If you're looking at what we've seen in the US and the UK, already those premiumization lines are starting to come back to a more polarized trend.
Right, okay.
So there's a lot of opportunity, but yeah, we've got to be attuned to it and be managing our ranging as a result.
So, yeah, I guess you've got to be right on top of that, haven't you, and move with as it flows. It's interesting, actually, I was chatting to Mark from Molson the other day, and he actually wrote a piece on this about that sort of the caution on the rush to premiumise across the board, because he was sort of saying those we're still not consuming in the way that we consumed pre-pandemic, and as that comes back and people come in and they're going to want those sort of more sessionable sort of beers and things like that, we need to be aware of that and thinking about those times as they return. So I guess that's the same, isn't it? You've got to be pretty fleet of foot and on top of those trends and changes. So
yeah, it'd be the middle ground that gets squeezed.
Yeah, absolutely.
The people want entry level or best.
Yeah.
And as I say, there's still a great opportunity for premiumisation within that. We can see world lager sales up 5%. But as you say, you're going to have this consumer come back who, for them, being out is the treat.
Yeah.
I need affordable luxuries, please.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Brilliant. Well, that is, I'm afraid, we've got time for Phil, but thank you very much for that. Some really interesting stats there.
No, thanks for your time, mate. Appreciate the forum.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Yes, mate. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is the Lock In Podcast. So we're looking backwards over some of the issues that we've seen since we've been off air. And two of the big challenges that have dominated the industry over the past few months has been the staffing crisis and possibly also customer behaviour, which I'm sure Heath has plenty to talk about on that. But let's have a look. I mean, we're going to be digging into the staffing challenges in next week's episode in a bit more detail, but I mean, let's just look back. I mean, how has it been for you guys? Because it genuinely seems to be a nightmare for most in the trade.
There's no one around. Mm. There is really, like, you know what I mean? Like, they want to spend all this money on these campaigns and stuff. There is no one around. There's not, like, in the old days, you put an advert out and there'd be people. There's no one. There's
well, maybe that's why we need these campaigns. Then,
yeah, but there's no one in the country. Like,
there's a million vacancies out there, aren't there?
I mean, if you're looking for a kitchen porter right now, good luck. Mm. There's nobody of that level who just want to like be stuck in a kitchen washing pots. Mm. It's really hard. Like, it's, you know what I mean? Like,
I think it does come because you can't, as much as you want to make the trade sexy, it's not that sexy when you're working on a Friday, Saturday night and your mates are out.
Mm. Yeah, but it's like, not just that. It's not sexy when you're working and you're getting bullied by and yelled at by customers. Mm. You think you're a piece of shit on their shoe. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, you throw in customer behavior and you think, why would you want to be in hospitality? Because they do think you're generally just stupid. Like, you know.
But, I mean, it's more than that. I mean, we'll come on to that because I think you've made a good point there of sort of maybe that's a factor. But I mean, it's beyond that, isn't it? I mean, we've been struggling to recruit before. Mm. This crisis, and ironically, at the start of the crisis, we did think that it might actually solve the recruitment problem if there were less operators out there, there'd be more staff. That hasn't been proven the case. You know, the chefs are still a nightmare to find, but it's not just chefs anymore, is it? It's staff across the whole board. Spectrum.
Yeah.
And I mean, what are you guys doing about it at the moment? How are you recruiting when you need to recruit? What are you doing? Because I know at the Lockhart, you've basically got Lydia bringing in her family most of the time.
What's it? Friendship groups.
She's running out of brothers and sisters.
Exactly, but it's been friendship groups that have brought people in, but they also get looked after well.
Mm. So I think that's the thing. I think I'm hearing stories of other operators who don't pay the service charge or incorporate it into an hourly rate, don't give them star food, and
they don't have any place for them to sit. And
yeah, makes them leave the building when they...
Who's that?
Oh, I won't say. But do you know what I mean? Like, it's, I think you, like, if you're not looking after your people, like, yeah, okay, everybody goes, well, staff food's expensive, but like, what's, you know, how much does it take you to train someone? You know, retention's where you really need to be. If you're spending all that money on people, in the old days, so many operators would just go, oh, we'll just find someone else. But there's no students coming to London to study. Mm. So you're not even getting them looking for part-time work. There's just
no Kiwis, no Australians.
Yeah, but we sort of got out of this trade a long time ago.
Well, I mean, you say that, but I mean, I know the Scottish operators are saying that's their biggest problem, actually, is the lack of Australians.
Oh, really?
Up in Edinburgh, certainly. Mm. So, yeah, I mean, that is an issue, but...
But, you know, like, the problem we've got is the government don't care about us. The reality is, all the staff, they don't care if we go out of business. They really don't.
It's interesting, though, because we're looking at this training at the moment, aren't we? The sort of degree pathway for some of the team with the guys at HIT. And that's been really interesting. And there is a pot of money to go after, and particularly if they're new.
But you've still got to find the people to go in.
But we'll talk about that in next week's episode, because I think it's really interesting the stuff you guys are doing on that. But as he says, you've
got to get them first.
Get the person in first, haven't we?
Because our retention rate's brilliant, right?
Yeah. Maybe. Once you get them, do you know what I mean? But you've still got to find people that want to go and do this as a career. And let's be honest.
But if your retention rate's that great, why are you looking for people?
Business is grand. You always have a bit of wastage, don't you? Particularly with students going back to uni. That's the thing. The
only thing I'm looking for at the Red right now is a part-time kitchen boarder. Mm. And that's the only member of staff I need right now. But it's finding that. Do you know what I mean?
But it's always interesting because you also need to get rid of the bad ones. You can't afford to carry anyone.
Mm.
So you still need...
You're going to have that churn. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So where are you looking for these people and when you have to?
A lot of it's word of mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, get the staff to text their friends, always asking if there's anybody, that's how I get most of the staff, right? Mm. Get most of them just like, we run adverts on different websites and stuff, but you just, people apply for jobs who it's really hard, who've never worked in hospitality and then just have, crazy expectations what it looks like, I only can do Monday to Friday, 12 to 4. You know what I mean? You're like, okay, well.
Yeah, great.
Thanks.
But you do get other operators coming in. We've had a couple coming in to try and get staff, nick them.
Poaching's quite strong.
But then they find out what they're getting and the service. Just stay here then.
We're
not going to pay that, no. Your floor staff are any more than our manager.
But you're trying to... It's money, isn't it? When they put the minimum wage up, it's next year. We already pay above minimum wage, but that means we have to move our minimum wage even more up. Mm. Our what we pay people. So it's I don't know, man. It's like it's and costs are going up.
It's going to just go up and up and up, isn't it? But I mean, money's important, but it's not the be all and end all. No. It's also the work life balance you've got to be thinking about. Ensuring that your teams are getting the right time off. That they're because that's becoming certainly amongst younger employees. It's becoming a bigger issue, isn't it? It's not so much what you're paying; it's what you're offering on top of that in terms of that sort of ability to live their lives.
Obviously, can't remember the country, but they banned. Basic businesses emailing or phoning employees.
It was Germany, wasn't it?
Might be Germany outside of working hours.
Right, yes,
You know, you can't do it.
You can't do the hospitality when you're like, where's the key?
Yeah.
I can't find the key.
We just won't open today because I can't ring the...
Like, it's just...
Where's the blue roll?
it's just mad. I don't know. It's not going to get... I don't think it's going to get any easier. I think that's the problem. And the problem you've got is customers aren't very understanding.
I mean, you're not having people coming in with CV. I mean, this used to be a thing. You'd have people coming in with a CV and going, I'm looking for work.
All the time.
And the irony was that when we were off there, I was in a bar in Brighton, and someone did walk in with a CV saying, are you hiring? And the staff were just like, no, don't think we are. And I'm sat there going, yes, you bloody are.
No, but also you've got like some Amazon and stuff paying good money.
Yeah.
At supermarkets, making plenty of money, paying good money, and in fairly good conditions.
In good hours, more sociable hours, weekends, all that kind of stuff.
We're not unique. I don't think we're also unique as an industry struggling.
No.
It's...
And let's come on to the other thing that you flagged as well, Heath, customer behaviour. Mm. That certainly seems to be something that's really ticked up in the last 6 months or so in terms of obnoxious behaviour. We're getting lots of operators saying, people are behaving terribly, they're rude, and that impacts on staff as well. What are you seeing?
We're sitting like, honestly, at the Red, it's like some days it's carnage. Their behaviour is just unbelievable. One of my young waitresses, she was serving a table and the lady went to complain, but grabbed her by the wrist so hard and was yelling at her holding her, like you're assaulting someone. Do you not see, you know? But people, I think people are so angry, so frustrated about everything, and we've been saying this for a while, but they just take it out, like, you know, I've been called a lot of names lately. Like, it's just like,
not just by me and James.
Yeah, no, but you just calm down. Do you know what I mean? Like, why you talk? They talk to you with no respect, and like you're a piece of shit.
So it should be a government training for basically for customers.
But, and then
forget your COVID passport. Yeah. You've got to pass a civility test.
Yeah. But we were saying this about like, you know, reservation systems and stuff. And I see that Seven Rooms are going into Harrods, and they did a piece the other day in the paper, and they said, you know, we keep customers' details, because I don't think people realise we do that. Because the amount of phone calls I do when they ring up, and they go, okay, telephone number, and I put it in. They go, okay, cool. Oh, is that John? And they go, oh yeah. Oh, that's amazing. How'd you know? Yeah, we're not Luddites. We've got computers. Do you know what I mean? What is this? And they're so surprised, because we do keep track of notes. And
you make comments on your customer
Heat. Oh, yeah, we do.
Would you like to share
some of that? Got leaked. Some of it. But
I'd have to bleep most of it out.
But we went and, like, we had a lady the other day ring up, make a booking, and Matt put the details in, and he saw notes from previous things, and he rang her back and said, listen, just so you know, you can't A, do this, B, do that. And she was like quite shocked. And he goes, well, you know, you've taken the piss many times before. Mm-hmm. You know, and we tell people now, like, we openly say, listen, the reason you can't book online is because you didn't show up to two bookings before, so we've blocked you. Oh, please, please, please. But they need to know. They've got no respect. I think the problem is they don't care. They just want to do what they want and screw it. You know, the amount of times we've been out and hospitality staff have just been treated to like some of the shocking behaviour. Mm-hmm.
There's almost a campaign in there, isn't there? A sort of respect campaign that we need to have for
Pret a Manger put the signs up saying "Be kind." Do you see that? They were like, but people look at that and they go, "Well, that's not me. I'm not like that." And you go, "Well, you are. You've been really rude." Do you know what I mean? Some of the comments some people say are just like,
I love it. You just sign, "This is not a creche," because you do see some of the things you know, you don't want to get involved and tell them about a parent, but really your kid's killing the place.
Yeah, but they don't care, though.
They don't care. They think once they're in and paying...
I haven't brought her in for a while.
Once they're paying, they think they can do what they want. Yeah. And they think that you... Because they know that we've all been hit so hard and we need the money. So they think, well, they're taking advantage of that. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, we had a TripAdvisor complaint that we gave them the cold shoulder and we're rude and all this sort of thing. We went open. They came and sat down. We went open. Like, what are you doing? Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. We're in here for a quick lunch. But we're not open. We can't... Like, we get what you're saying, but we're not open. So
there is no lunch. Yeah.
There is, like, you know, and you're getting a negative TripAdvisor. Yeah. You know, some of the stuff people write, it's just like, you know, well, give us a break. But
it's for another day. But you wonder how this whole review thing's going to mature. Oh, it's a long way to go.
I just think it's rubbish. But I don't know, like, you know, and it's hard. You want to recruit people, and then they're coming in, and like, they're, some of my staff crying because the way people have spoken to them. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's so we, you know, like, if you ring up here and you're like, table for 2 at 8 o'clock, not fully booked, even if I've got free tables, I'm not dealing with that. Like, if you can't say good evening, hello, morning, whatever, there's no niceties. What are you going to be like when you're in the pub?
But hey, we're also in the fortunate position where we could, you know, broadly always full, broadly.
Yeah, but I'd rather be, you know, what I mean? I'd rather take a hit than have to deal with, you know, some just people are unreasonable. Do you know what I mean? My thing, you don't like it, go somewhere else. I don't care.
Well, there you go. I think we need to launch that customer training program then, don't we? Mm-hmm. So let's leave that one there. You're listening to the Lock In podcast, and we're going to be giving some new products a go now. I'm afraid it's beer heavy, Heath. To be fair, the wine guy stopped sending us samples after you savaged the last lot that they sent in. So,
really?
It's your own fault.
I can't remember that.
Let's face it, you and wine, you're just horrible. So let's start. We've got Guinness Zero.
I want to try this. I
mean, yeah. So we obviously was launched while we were off. It's nice and.
Did you shake it?
I didn't shake it. No, James may have been juggling it on the way here, but let's give this one a go. This is obviously the 0% stout.
Guinness is my beer of choice, so I'm going to drink beer.
This is true. You are a Guinness fan. Cheers, thank you. So what do we think?
Look, it's like it's settling, like it's been poured on draft.
Oh, it's got the widget in, hasn't it? So it's
witchcraft.
Yeah.
There's no booze in here at all,
No booze, I'm afraid. Don't worry, there's some booze in the other cans I've got here, so you'll be fine. The shakes will stop.
It tastes like a milkshake.
It's quite thin, though.
I guess that you don't get the viscosity, do you, with the alcohol? Ain't bad, though. Ain't bad.
It's like all these products, aren't they? They're getting better and better, but you're never going to replace that.
No.
Little bit of the bite that you
get. It's interesting. You need that. You need the alcohol, don't you? Especially when your hand's shaking like me this morning.
Are
they going to put it on draft, or are they just going to
I don't know. I mean, we've seen Heineken are going to go with draft, aren't they? I know they're trialling it in some pubs at the moment, which is...
I'd like to have a look at that.
Which is fantastic. Yeah, I mean, one local to me, actually, I think, has been selected to do it. He's delighted. So, yeah, that's quite a step forward if they've genuinely cracked that shelf life.
To stop... That was the yeast, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The concern about yeast and the lime fermenting the beer and alcohol.
And there's no alcohol as a preservative, so the shelf life was so bad, wasn't it? So, be interesting to see. So
just pulled it. Just completely changed the category, though, won't it?
Mm. Well, that's what a lot of operators have said, haven't they? Give it to me on draft, and I'll sell it.
Also, from a customer's point of view, some of these low and no are so expensive in bottles, so expensive, that you think, well, actually, how is it possible? You know, if you tell me duty so much of my beer, how is this so expensive?
But anyway. Yeah. Right, next up we have the Camden Marmite.
Really?
Again, this was launched a while ago while we were off air, so I have been saving it for you. It wasn't because I couldn't get into the strong box they sent it to me at all, or crack the code, but...
I'm more of a Vegemite.
Are you
person?
A Marmite? Well, you're an Aussie, aren't you? So
I'm a Kiwi. Marmite back home is a lot different than the Marmite you guys have
is
over
it?
Here. Yeah, it's not... Your one's a bit shit, to be honest.
Is it Vegemite? Is that what you...
Well, I have Aussie Vegemite on my toast in the morning.
I mean, I don't get the Vegemite thing. It's rank, but I do like Marmite, so...
Kind of like that.
What's it like? I mean,
it's made from brewer's yeast, isn't it? Marmite's a byproduct of...
Yeah. It's got an earthy smell to it, hasn't it?
Do you know, I think you're either going to love it or you're going to hate it.
Oh, well done. It does the shit jokes, yeah.
I mean, you stole that joke from me. It's actually written down.
No, oh, really?
No, even I would not go that way.
I like it.
I like it.
It's quite nice, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd drink that.
So, I mean, okay, we like it.
What's the ABV?
It's
15%.
4.8.
Okay.
I think if you hadn't told me it's Marmite, I'm not sure.
It's Marmite. You just go, it's a good strong ale.
Yeah, I'm not getting a lot of Marmite out of that.
Yeah, and the back palate, you get it there.
You were just drinking the Guinness like that. So would you, branding wise, does it stand out, do you think?
I think it's fun.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously Marmite, isn't it? And would you stock it?
I think it's fun.
I think you'd have it on for a while as a guest appearance. Mm. Do you know what I mean? I don't think you'd keep it on your main list.
Mm. But they're doing it for the fun, aren't they? They're doing it for the crack.
Oh.
So, yeah, probably.
You can smell the Marmite when you drink it, but it doesn't jump out. And also with the Guinness, I mean, we didn't discuss that. Would you stock that?
Again, back to the draft issue for me. No, probably not.
No?
No. I'd probably look for something like Big Drop do their stout, which is good.
Yeah. What about you, Heath? I mean, you're a Guinness drinker. Would you stock the zero in the pub?
Nah.
No? I mean, not for you, obviously, because, I mean, it's got to have alcohol in it for you.
If I'm not happy, no one else is.
Meaning this place is thoroughly miserable most of the time.
Yes, I know.
And Sophia does her very best to make sure that continues.
Is that your Guinness over there?
No, I've just pulled that out of there. So, yeah, no, it's not
okay, looking. That's suddenly got more active.
Extra frothy.
Okay, what next?
Right, let's go with the Signature Brew. We've got two from them. We've got... A pink vinyl, which is a fruited goose, 4.6 ABV, and the other is a Reverb, which is a New England IPA at 6%. So let's try the fruity one first, shall we? Show me a glass.
Yep.
So it's a nice, delightful pink colour. Yeah. Oh, that's not my hand shaking, that's Heath's hand shaking.
Yeah, it was.
So there we go, James.
Lovely, thank you.
Right, what do we think? This is, it's an interesting colour. Oh, floor.
Oh, wow. Where's that?
That's
disgusting.
That's quite sharp.
I mean, the problem is, I just don't like that style of beer. Mm. So I think I'd be doing it a disservice, but it's not for me.
No, I
don't dislike it. No. It's not my cup of tea, but...
It's not tea here, it's beer. I don't know, on a hot summer's day.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's...
It's actually... It's all right.
It's drinkable.
It is, yeah, which is a really good start for a beer.
I mean, yeah.
Or any drink, frankly.
Yeah, I see. I find that. I'm
just putting it out there.
Branding-wise, what do we think?
Yeah.
It's okay. Quite, it's all right.
Yeah.
Would you stock it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's try the reverb then, shall we? So this is a New England IPA. This is a bit punchier, 6%.
Boom, bring it on.
440ml can. Well, that's a nice murky.
You are shaking, aren't you?
Man,
don't pretend you're...
That's your vision, Heath.
Man, you're like, what's his name in Leaving Las Vegas?
Elvis.
No, that's all right, actually. I don't mind that. It's probably just the alcohol that I like.
6%. I was going to say, it's just the it's a bit thin, isn't it? I'm not getting a...
Yeah.
It's okay.
It's all right.
Yeah. Okay, well,
that's why I don't get lost reviews.
We're getting the opinions here. Yeah. Would you stock it?
Yeah, probably.
I mean,
we've got quite an eclectic beer list down at the Lockhart, so it would fit in well.
I mean, I would ask Keith, but he's been distracted by food arriving and has left the building. So let's move on. Let's try these. So we've got two Meantime now to finish with. Fallback, which is a black IPA. 6% ABV, which will please Heath. And the TikTok Bock, which is a Doppelbock made with surplus bread, and an ABV 8%. So,
is this what the one that they did with Tote?
Yes, with so let's start with let's do the Fallback, which is a black IPA, first of all. The other one is made with surplus bread, so I think they say one slice is in a can. But
I had one of those the other day.
A toast.
What, some toast? Did you have Marmite on it?
No, Vegemite.
Oh, right, good. Okay. It's not really black, is it? I'm being picky.
Oh, man.
What do we think?
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, it's fine. Nice.
Would you stock it?
Nah.
Branding-wise, what do we think?
That's okay.
Can't really see it though.
I don't know. It's too dark, isn't it? You can't really see what the it's a very dark sort of browny label with gold writing on. It's difficult to see. Right, let's try the bread number. This is TikTok Bock Doppelback, 8% ABV. There you go, James.
And Keith,
give me a glass.
Yeah, that one. I'm running out of glasses.
Lighter colour.
What's this one?
This is the Doppelbank. I'm glad you're paying attention and not troughing a pizza whilst we're doing this.
That's strong. That's nice.
Yeah,
this is
8%.
Yeah, I like that.
8%.
That'll get the job done. You're actually starting to look quite attractive here. Yeah, I'd stock that.
You flatter me.
I'd stock that, but I'd give the stock taker a problem because stuff would be disappearing. I'd be like that.
Brilliant. Okay, Heath, you going to stock it?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah. Distracting him from his pizza. So let's that is all of them. Let's leave that one there. You're listening to the Lock In podcast, and we are at the end of this week's episode. It's great to be back. Well, it's okay to be back. It's tolerable having to see you two again.
No one has to believe.
It's, well, you know, I've got to get in there first, haven't I? This is what we've learned over the years. Let's look back. I mean, we've been looking back at the last 6 months for this one. Let's sort of, what would you say has been the standout for you guys? Either highlight, lowlight, sort of over the last 6 months. I mean, he's just looked confused by the question.
I don't know. Like, probably getting the all clear from the HMRC on that audit. It was quite nice.
And the low was getting the arse to do it in the first place.
Arse to do it. Yeah. I don't know.
When you say getting the all clear, I really wonder what that was going to be. Having had a couple of trips abroad, you know, in the last bit, so.
I don't know, man. I think it's been like, it just, you know, the thing is, it just feels like we've lost 2 years of our lives just with COVID, and, you know, it's just... Who knows what tomorrow?
I mean, the stand now just being allowed to be open for the last 6 months. Surely, I mean, that's when we sort of stopped recording the last series.
When we're thanking them just to let us open,
let us try. Really bad, isn't it? Let's keep going.
I think that for me, the highlight's probably the momentum we've got,
right?
And people coming back in as enthusiastic. I know we've talked about issues about customers, but in the main, certainly down in Sussex, they've been, you know, pleased to see us and us them. In the main. I know you come in sometimes, Ed, so you know, it's not blanket approach here. But yeah, I think that and the strength of Christmas bookings that, you know,
we're excited. Right, but we've still got the Winlock, which does no money.
Yeah.
Which is dead because no one's back in the city. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, you know, for every positive, there's always a negative. And it's just.
I mean, you are possibly the most sort of glass half empty person I've ever met in my life. But,
it doesn't take him long to empty it, in fairness.
It's true, that is true.
Yeah, I like, who knows? Like, I don't know. Like, let's just get through Christmas, and see what the government throws at us again, because it's not over.
I mean, he already looks like a broken man, and it's not even
December. Around the table.
Well, that is true. So it's here, and he's on best behaviour. You can tell the dynamic has changed.
Yeah,
it's that death stare, isn't it? That's
like, Edward, would you like me to say?
I've never seen him so quiet.
That's brilliant, isn't it?
Now we know what to do.
She said, apparently, the reason, you know, my wife's sitting here looking at us, but the reason I'm not saying much is because she always says I'm not funny and my jokes are shit. So
that's what you say to me.
She's not a liar.
I pass it on. No one finds you funny. You're not funny.
The best bit is she's just found out where she can find the podcast now, so you're in a whole heap of trouble. Delighted.
Brilliant. Well, there you go. Let's maybe park this one here. That is all for this week's episode of the Lock-In Podcast. We'll be back next week. We'll be tackling the challenges of recruitment and retention in the pub sector with some special guests, including Mark McCulloch, who's leading the Hospo Rising Initiative to promote our sector as an employer. So it'll be interesting to see what he's been up to, and Heath will probably be rude to him. That's pretty much standard. And we'll be talking to some recruitment specialists as well, hopefully to get their views on what is happening and how we should be dealing with it. So
are they magicians?
You never know.
I hope they're magicians. We need magicians.
You need a magician. We can arrange that.
Yeah. We need witchcraft.
Yeah. When are you going to see Frozen with your daughter again?
Saturday.
Yeah. Okay. We'll look forward to that. We'll be getting a review.
Let it go.
Oh, dad joke. Dad joke. That is all from me, him, and we will see you all next week.
Bye.